Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
You know, part 3 this first service, and I'm going to do part 4 in second service. That we titled NGO. Somebody say NGO. So NGO means how God get things done through us. We saw that in the book of Galatians 3 verse 5. The Bible says, he that worketh miracles around you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So Paul was asking a rhetoric question. He says, the miracles that you see among you, that was done through me, do you think it was done by conformance to the dictate of the law or by the hearing of faith? But we're not looking at the hearing of faith today, but there's something we're trying to point out from there when he says, he that worketh miracles among you. So God works miracles among us. And in the context of Paul's, you know, rebuke to the church in Galatia, who had drifted away from faith, we see it was Paul through whom God did those mighty things. And he says it was God who worked that miracles through him to their benefit. So it therefore means that God works in and through us. But you see, a lot of believers, they are living in oblivion of how God gets things done through them. God is a master planner. All of your life, all you will become, everything concerning you, he planned it out. Your life is a replay. God is not caught unaware. Don't forget, his name, one of his names is Alpha and Omega. That means it's the beginning and the end. Your own beginning and the end is in the middle of his own beginning and the end. So he is not caught unaware. So, but you see, for God to get things done in this world, he cannot do it without you and I. So he had to cooperate with you and I to effect his desire. Why? Because Psalms 115 from verse 15 to 16, from verse 5 to 6 tells us that the heavens, even the heavens belongs to the Lord. But the earth he has given to the sons of men. So God can really do nothing without you and I's cooperation with him. So last week I shared with us in first and second service that one of the most brilliant ways in which God gets things done through us is by placing a divine desire, a divine deposit of his desire in our hearts. And we saw that in the book of Ezekiel 36, Psalm 110, Philippians 2, 13. We see how God puts his desires in our hearts. Why? Because God never made robotics. He made us as free moral agents. So it doesn't force anything on us. So he put the desire in us. In fact, this is one of the miracles of salvation. He says, thy people shall be willing in the day of his power. Talking about post-resurrection experience. Philippians 2:13 says, God is at work in you. He is energio in you. The word work there is energio. God is at work in you, giving you the willingness and the enablement to please him. So God will infuse the desire. Some of you, you can't find out why anytime you see a teenager, you just want to weep. You want to help them. It could be a divine calling to reach out to teenagers with the gospel. Some of you, you just hate to see all those children on the roadside begging food. Every time, even if you have the last 1,000 naira, you want to spend it to reach out to those kids. Your heart just goes for kids. You see, God is the one putting that desire in you. And many times, like I shared in second service last week, we misinterpret God's desire, God's impute of desires in our heart. So that's why we need tutors to train us, teach us, to help us. You know, no matter how pregnant, how bodgy your pregnancy looks, you always need a midwife. So the visions of your heart, you always need someone to help you out. Come on. So, and that's why God designed the church. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. Unto the edifying of the body of Christ. If we all come to the unity of the faith, can you see that? So it's one of my responsibilities to help you. Glory to God. So today I want to look at another way God gets things done through us. You see, God wants to deliver Israel from the tyrannical rule of the Egyptian taskmaster. And then God put the desire in the heart of Moses. But unfortunately, Moses did not do it the right way. But he knew, he had a desire to reach out. Don't forget, he was raised in the palace. But he would go and check up on his kindred who were suffering. The Bible says God put it in his heart. Acts 7, we saw it there last week. It says, and God put it in his heart to go on and check up on his brethren. And one day he saw one of his brethren fighting with an Egyptian. An Egyptian was trying to, chance him. Try to bully him. And Moses struck the Egyptian guy and buried him in the soil. And that costed him 40 more years of his life. He had to flee. Because if Pharaoh hears it, he was done. But the desire of his heart to deliver the people from the tyrannical rule of the Egyptian taskmaster was genuine. But he didn't know how to interpret it. I gave you an example about my own life. Growing up as a kid, I couldn't stand seeing somebody sick. Even if it's the slightest headache, I couldn't stand it. So I thought it up in my mind that maybe God wants me to study medicine. I wanted to study medicine and surgery. Oh, I love it. At some point I said, no, it is obstetrics and gynecology. Let me keep helping pregnant women. I want just to be obstetrics and gynecology. Later on, it divided into pediatrics. Oh, I just want to be helping children. Later on, I would watch movie and I see soldiers wounded. And I said, no, I don't like the way soldiers. I want to be a medical doctor attached to the Nigerian army. So I said, you know what? I'm going to a paramilitary school. And I did. All my friends are in the army. They are in one paramilitary or the other right now. But I found out it wasn't medicine. I wrote jammed me. Finally, I found a school that I could have an opportunity, ABU Zaria. My parents says, no, you aren't going to the north. You spent 6 years in the boarding school in the north. No time for you to come back home now. I said, oh, God. And the other school that offered me other admission, I didn't like it. But along the way, I found out it wasn't medicine. It was a calling to the healing ministry. And I began to heal the sick. Lay hands on the sick, they get healed. Get people off from the wheelchair. And I'm still doing it. So my interpretation was wrong. If I had become a doctor that I wanted to be, I would have quitted by now. That would have been a waste of time, waste of resources. Because it costs a lot of money to study medicine, actually. Can you see? I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So many times, our desires, it is God who puts it in our hearts. So that's how he gets things done through us. Because we are not robotics. He cannot force us. He has to put his desire in our heart so that we will now see it as our own desire. And then we'll begin to carry it out. And I told you steps to do when such desires come last week. So get the tape. It's going to bless you. So today I want to look at another thing that will bless you. But let me just give it to you for the sake of writing. How God gets things done through us. You know, because God has a strategy. And the strategy is the church. The church is God's strategy to carry out his plan. He has a plan. His plan is to reconcile all of creation back to himself. And I showed you that last week. Go get it. It's going to bless you tremendously. And you and I, we have a part to play. I want you to think about a big picture. Look, God's plan is incomplete without you fulfilling your own part. I want to help you do so. I want you to think this morning. Many a times, a lot of people don't realize that your part to play in God's big vision is very important. So, God will want to work what he has put in you before the foundation of the world. He wants to work it out. So, one way he does it is to put desires in you. Another beautiful way he does so is to is what I call divine orchestration into divine relationships. Divine orchestration into divine relationships. God will divinely lead us into divine relationship. So his working in an individual is not in isolation from a big plan he has for all others. So he set up a strategy of bringing like minds. See, you know, in the business world, there's something they call masterminds. Like if you want to conceptualize an idea, you're going to gather what we call masterminds. You're going to bring the best brains on table. And they're going to contribute their own quarter. So that's how God did. He has put, maybe he has a plan of writing A to Z. And you are 26 people in the world. But he wants to write alphabet A to Z. That is his plan. So he will put A in you, B in him, C in that one, D in this one, E in that one, F in that one, Q in that one, M in that one. Come on, do you understand what I'm saying? So God now has a strategy of bringing all those letters together, and his strategy is the church, supernatural relationship. You see, we are not just fraternally, you know, connected in church by emotions. We are, the word church means ecclesia in Greek. It means ek and lesia. Ek means the called out ones. Then lesia means gathering. So ecclesia means the gathering of the called out ones. So it's like those days. Permit me to use this example. It's not a perfect example, but just listen. It's like those days. I don't know if they still do it now. Footballers, they would go to the remote areas. I was one of those that were choosing those days. I told you. Thank God for Jesus. My second name would have been Confucius. At one point, I thought I would be a footballer. I mean, I used to walk like, you know, I'm more catchy. Like, I used to walk like this, you know. I mean, I would intentionally give myself, you know, curve legs. Because then we thought anyone who had curve leg was a good footballer. So I remember those days, coaches would go to rural, they would go to areas, they would go to schools in their inter-house sports. I went to police children's school when I was younger. So they will go to all these, inter-house sports to look for good people who are good because we play football. Or maybe they just go to places and then they will pick the best, get their names, they will gather them. They'll be training them. They call them local footballers, call them under 16, under 17. Are you hearing me, church? So they will get the best brains and put them together. So that the idea is that so that the national football club will be able to pick the best of the best. But I don't think the politics that they play makes that happen anymore. So it's a thing like that. So he has a common goal, and the church is a strategy. So he calls out people from the world, bring them together, and the relationship between them is supernatural. I've taught you this before. The relationship between you and the person sitting next to you is spiritual. You know, when Jesus died, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gate of hell will not what? Now, a lot of people think, oh, Jesus is still building his church. Not actually. Because the context, he was talking about his resurrection. So when he says, I will build my church, and the gate of Hades, the gate of hell, there is Hades, Sheol, it means grave. So when Jesus says the gate of Sheol will not prevail against it, he's talking about grief. And on the third day, he proved it. So Jesus died singularly, but he woke up as the church. On the third day, it was the church that rose up. That's why Ephesians 1, Apostle Paul prayed that we might see the exceeding greatness of his power toward us when God raised him from the dead. That means when he died, we actually died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. When he rose up, we rose up together with him into newness of life. Romans 6, 3 to 4. Colossians 2, 12 to 14, saying the same thing. That's why Jesus in the book of John chapter 24, he says, a corn of wheat, it abides alone. But when it falls into the furrows of the ground and die, it will bring forth harvest of many seeds. So Jesus died alone, but he woke up with many seeds, you and I. So the church was the product of his resurrection. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Let me tell you this. If you are a Bible student, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and some part of John, Jesus was regarded to as the only begotten son. Why? Because he was the only one who is the God incarnate. But when you read the epistles, he was stopped being called the only begotten son. He began to be called the firstborn among many brethren. For Hebrews 2:9 says, he tasted death that he might bring many unto glory. So now we are sons of God because the Son of God died as a seed to bring forth many sons of God. He says, but we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the Elohim, not angels. The word angels is not angelo. It is Elohim in the original Septuagint. But not the teaching for today. He was made a little lower than the Elohim for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by grace of God should taste death for every man. He tastes death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing how many sons? Many sons unto glory. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sovereigns. Many sons. He was the only son. Now he died to bring forth many sons. He tasted death. So that to give birth to many sons. Somebody said, no, me, I'm a daughter. It's the same thing. Don't, it's not feminism. Forget about that. It's the same thing. You are a female son. I'm a male son. Sonship simply means born of something. Son of God means born of God. We are born. Listen, literally, we were born of God. So now he gathers us because he has the plan. Now, his strategy of God, that's why Hebrews 10:25, the Bible says, do not forsake the gathering of ourselves together as the manner of some people is. So, let me give you a picture. Imagine you are a father and you have you seen situations where a father has like four children and he's telling one of the child, he says, don't be like that one, no, but they are all his children. I don't know if you can relate. That's what God is saying. He's saying, hey, guys, don't be like some who forsake gathering. So God has many children. He has rascals. He has mumus. He has nice children. He has different kind of children. And his heart is open to all of them. But there are some things that will only be merited. I told people, there are some things that you only get by merit. For example, going to heaven comes to us because Christ has died for us. But the rewards in heaven is not by grace. It's by hard work. The work of love, motivated by love that we do for the kingdom. The money you give for the furtherance of the gospel, the financial support, your evangelism, the soul winning program you enforce or you engage in, the kingdom advancement programs that you involve in, your selfless service for the kingdom. We are not going to be mates. Everybody ain't going to be mates in heaven. Somebody say, well, no, well, I beg. Even if na boy's cut, I no, well, I just enter. Man, just jackpot. That's the problem. You have this jackpot mindset. Let me explain to you. When you were in secondary school, you always thought in your mind, I beg, man, just enter university. Yeah. Now you have entered, you felt, I wish I studied law. I wish. Do you get it? You would never know the importance of something until you are there. But you see, that is learning by experience, which is not God's best. Learn by instruction. The reason why the reward system in heaven has not made so much meaning to you right now is because you are still thinking earthly. Can you see that? And what I'm teaching you is predicated. on you having a reward in heaven. That God has a plan. You have to see a bigger picture. And he uses ecclesia, the church, as a strategy for gathering everybody, masterminds. So we all have what we are contributing. I'm showing you how God gets things done through us. Somebody's wondering, how does this relate? I'm showing you. It's a practical theology. Look at the book of Romans 12. Let me show you. Romans 12 and verse 4. Can you give me a simpler translation? It says, for as we have a number of parts in one body, but all the parts have not the same use. Is that true? They don't have the same use. Verse 5. So we, though we are a number of persons, we are one body in Christ. And we are dependent on what? One another. I mean, I've been wearing rings recently. You know, I'm married. Glory to God. Such a nice silver, okay? Silver ring. And my eye sees it and says, wow. Sometimes when I look at the ring, I think of the money that we use in buying. I say, oh, nice ring. But it's my hands that wears it. Interestingly, the hand that wears it didn't even know he's wearing a ring. It's the eyes that is appreciating it. How about the eye? He says, I need me some ring too. I must wear me some ring. You see why some of your dumb prayers, you praying for things. Look, imagine the eye is praying, oh God, give me ring too. I like the ring on the hands. And then God gives, put the ring on your heart. It's not useful. Come on. Somebody say, well, I am not visible. That's why. I want to be visible. Listen. Look at ladies. They spend so much money painting their face to look beautiful or to enhance their beauty. I wouldn't say look beautiful because all of God's creation is beautiful. The makeover is just to, you know, enhance the beauty. And imagine how much they spend. Now imagine if the intestine had a mouth to talk. And he says, no, you are paying too much attention because I'll tell you, ladies pay attention to their face. I mean, they have a separate towel. I didn't know until I got married. They have a separate towel for the face, separate soap for the face. I said, what? I use almost anything. Just wash everywhere. Just wash anything. Now spray my perfume. Now come and preach and dispel the power of God. Glory to God. Dispense the power of God. But I found out they have separate soap for face. After that, they have something they call sunburn. Sunscreen. They have separate things for the face. They spend a lot of money. What if the intestine has a mouth to talk and he says, hey, girl, I don't like it. You're spending too much money on the face. I need me to be painted too. The world is not seeing how beautiful I am too. Can you please, I want the world to see me too. That's disaster because if you take the intestine out, even the face will not be able to shine. Come on. I mean, look at how this building is. Imagine if I don't know if you have seen fine house before. Fine building. Let me see your insult. You say, wow, what a nice house. Right? What if the foundation too is crying? So they are not seeing me. They have to see me too. If they take the foundation out, the building will collapse. So we are all useful in our use. So we, though we are number of persons, are one body in Christ and are dependent. We are so dependent that pain on one body part is pain on every part. Have you ever had a little cut on the smallest finger of your leg that is so insignificant? That small finger that nobody is seeing, it has a little pain and then your whole body goes hot. I don't know what I'm talking about. I mean, sometimes you get this big boil here, big one here, just a small pain there. And you're like, this small pain and the whole body is crying. Why? Because the whole body is one. So we are So what God does is he brings the whole body together. Look at it. And are dependent on one another. Verse 6. And having different qualities by reason of the grace given to us, such as the quality of a prophet, let it be made use of in relation to the measure of our faith. So there are those who are to prophesy. Next verse. Or the position of a deacon of the church. Deacon means organizers. I wish I have time to share with you that the idea of fivefold ministry is not actually, as it were, completely, 100% the only gift in the body. There are many of them. Look at it. Let a man give himself to it, or to he who has the power of teaching. Let him make use of it now. I'm a teacher of God's word. Now, I mean, teaching, a teacher is fulfilled when the students have learned. Forget about university professor, sadist, who always glory. Last year, nobody scored above C. No, they rejoice in nonsense. That's not a good teacher. A good teacher rejoices. I haven't seen the student understood what they taught, right? Come on, talk to me, right? So that means my call to teach is useless if there was no one to teach. Come on. So the desire in the heart of you that God put in you does not excel in isolation. The nose cannot function in isolation. Have you ever seen nose on the road walking? Say, I am nose, just walking. It has to be on a body for it to smell. Look, a branch can only carry mango fruit as long as it abides in the trunk. Or you call it stem, right? The moment you cut the branch away, it can't bear any fruit. It is disconnected for life. Come on, are you following what I'm saying? So no part of the body is functioning in isolation. Your dream cannot be fulfilled in isolation. You must see the bigger picture. There must be a connectivity for the fulfillment of the bigger picture of God, of reconciling men to himself. Are you hearing me? So how God gets the things in us done is by connecting us, all right, to a community of what I will call yielded believers, who will also do their part so that all parts put together will make a healthy body. Come on. You are not insignificant. You're not a speck of dust. You have a part to play. You must know this. This is so important. Hallelujah. And in fact, it is that which every part supplies that makes for progress. Ephesians 4, quickly. Let me show you. Ephesians 4. Look, he says, don't finish here. Let him do so. He who gives, let him give freely. He who has the power of ruling, let him do it with a serious mind. He who has mercy on others, let him with what? With joy. In other words, he's saying, whatever it is that he's giving you to do, do it with joy. Because one man's win is everybody's win. It's not a one-man show. The kingdom is not a one-man show. You might be somewhere that you're not seeing. You say, it's only choir that pastor always let us celebrate, the music ministers. What about me? I'm there at the backside. I'm the one washing the toilet. Nobody is seeing me. God sees you. Can you see that? Now, look at Ephesians 4. Let me show you. Ephesians 4 verse 12. Quickly. Time is fast spent. I have just 10 moments to get out of here. For the training of the saints. Now, give me King James. It says, he gave some apostles, verse 11, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Let's go on. For the elk of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So God has a goal. And he gave ministry gift to perfect the saints, to come into the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, always going from one place to another. miracle center. You're going here and there. He says, he doesn't want to be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the slant of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15. He says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Look at verse 16. Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Someone say the whole body. Say it again. Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, are compacted by that which every joint supplies. Somebody say every joint supplies. So the compactment of the body is possible because of that which every joint supplies. Every joint supplies. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Someone say every part. There's an effectual working in every part. Somebody, God is working in you the graciousness to give. He says give freely. Somebody, God is working in you the effectual working to pray. Some of you, you know, we're not on the same level on prayer energy. If some people grab their chair to pray, they can stay there 5 hours. He says, do it, intercede, do it well. So when we get out this way, there is a rub off of where I have abundance and you lack, you take from mine. So as we lift hands and pray in the spirit, we are communicating spirit. Our guardian is supernatural. Some of you leave church with additional graces unknown to you. He says, because we are compacted by that which every joint supplies. There is a supply. How many of you, since I started coming to this church, you just noticed that you started teaching too? You saw me. Let me see your hands. You started teaching. Why? Because you saw me teaching. The anointing falls on you. You go with the anointing to teach. So it is that which every joint supplies. Every joint supplies to fulfill the primary goal of God, and his strategy is the church. So it is wisdom to treat church as a spiritual thing. Because this is how God gets things done through us. Imagine if you are nose. You can't function as a nose in isolation. Because air goes through you to the trachea, windpipe, goes to the lungs. The lungs have some mechanism to filter, remove the dust, gets into the bloodstream. Now the blood has to be oxygenated, flows into the heart. The heart pumps it to the body. But hey, if the nose is detached from the body, it's useless. So what God did is, because you are nose, he has made you nose before the world began. Now he took you, he called you out of the world and bring you into a gathering so that you can fit into the body and function. Come on. This is how God gets things done through us. He brings us into supernatural relationships. No mistakes about some of you are doing ministry today because I yielded to God to Kefi. Come on. That is a supernatural relationship that you don't joke with. Look, I don't care. Some of you, it's not a curse. Some of you, many of you in fact, will be richer than me. Say loud amen. Amen. Don't start saying, I don't richer than pastor. Don't be a mumu. Come on. Now, I'll be so stupid to start saying, oh, there are billionaires in my church. I'm now competing with them. I'm a fool to do that. I lost my place. I am blessed doing what I'm born to do. Can you see that? Come on, come on, come on. So you see, it is God's plan, all right, that you function. And the way he does so is by bringing you into... Look. You don't fit in everywhere. Come on. It's a designed place for you. You don't fit in everywhere. Can you see that? You don't. So it designs that it brings you into supernatural relationship so that you can play your part in his own big dream. Let me tell you, God is God-centered. So what it does is, only his counsel will stand. The Bible says, many are the devices in the heart of men, but the counsel of the Lord alone, that shall stand. So, it will bring A to B. Some of you don't know. You were passing by, you saw the billboard. There are many billboards. But why did you enter here? Some of you, it happened to be that the first person you met in school when you came to register is one that later invited you to church. And since then, you've been coming. Some of you were learning something from somebody and he says, come to my church next week. And you joined the person, came to church, and you were blessed. And since then, you've been coming. It is not coincidence. It is supernatural orchestration. It is. Hallelujah. So it is that which everybody supplies that eventually gets the job done. So the church is God's strategy of leading you into a company of yielded believers whose impute will complement yours for his kingdom advancement agenda. So the knowledge of this will reset your focus beyond mere emotional attachment, but to see a spiritual obligation required of you. If Mr. A invited you to church, then sometime later Mr. A left the church for some reason. You don't say, my friend is no longer going. Me too, I'm not going. Don't be mumu. You see, look, it is not an emotional relationship. We are a family, right? But a family with a goal to fulfill the vision of God. Can you see that? So once you know you have a spiritual obligation to supply to the body, let me ask you a question. God forbid. Have you ever seen people who are disabled before? Come on, talk to me. Some people who don't have leg, right? One leg is cut off. Come on, have you seen them before? Now, when one leg was cut off, with the other leg, say, during in embryology of medicine, when you were being formed as a fetus, it was the same tissues and cells that forms these two legs when there was what we call compartmentation. And then when the legs were being formed, we were formed together. Now that they have called this other one, I will go with you. So when one part leaves, the whole part says, no, we two we must go. Bandwagon effect. No. The Bible says the blind leading the blind, they fall into the ditch. So you must see church beyond emotional gathering. It's good we express emotion. After church, we hug ourselves. Some of you, families of you are students. You've been away for so many times, for so many months. You see your friends, I like your hair, nice. You kiss yourself, beautiful. I mean, female and female, peck, not kiss somebody's. Anyway, they kissed in the early church anyway, but it's a holy kiss. Amen forevermore. Can you see that? Let me just close with this. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9. So, because now, look up. What is this teaching doing to you? This teaching is to build, to awake within you, sense of partnership. Because now you realize that you are the skin, for example. But you also know that the skin will function because there are vitamins, minerals. And these vitamins and minerals are in food, plantain, fish. So now you have to cooperate with the eye that will recognize, that is fish, that's plantain, that's cucumber. And then he has to cooperate with the buttocks to sit in the cab that will take you to the market. Then he has to cooperate with your brain to make nice judgment. Now, this one is a bad tomato. This one is a good fresh tomato. You pick the right one. Goes to blend it. Now, make the stew. Makes the food. Now, Listen, your hand has to cooperate as you fetch the food. Your hand can't say, no, I'm going to hold the food because the food belongs to me. That hand will be doing itself a lot of disservice because that food in his hand will not translate into usefulness for it. So it has to cooperate with the mouth. The teeth has to blend it. Then enzymes in your mouth, your saliva, you have to mix it with saliva. A lot of people don't mix food with their saliva. They just, no, learn to do so. So the enzymes has to work on it. I think if I could remember in primary school, it was ptyalin. P-T-Y-A-L-I-N. Has to work on it. Goes to the esophagus. Goes to the stomach. And then there is assimilation. Now all the nutrients are now distributed to every body part. But there must be cooperation. So now that you know that your part is needed for the corporate growth of the body, your response, therefore, will be dogged, salient, undivided partnership mindset. This is my house. This is my church. I am a member of the body. I'm going to be involved. I will come early. I will pray for the church. I will keep coming. As God blesses me, I will give financially. I will not think about myself alone. I will help a brother. I will help a sister. I will pray for that uncle. I will pray for that brother I saw in church. Oh, I've been seeing that brother wearing one shoe for 6 months. No, I have many shoes at home. I'm going to... Do you get what I'm saying? Oh, that sister, she's been carrying one hair for too long. I have like 5 bow straight hair. I'm going to pick one and give it to her. Can you say that? I'm going to think that way. I'm going to think that way. Why? Because I've been made to realize that if one body, one part suffers, the whole body suffers. Come on. The whole body part suffers. You have to realize this. So this teaching is to let you know that one, how God works in us is by, one, I told you, by putting desire in our heart. Two, by bringing us into supernatural relationship. And so I must value that relationship so that I can be all that God wants me to be for the corporate benefit of the body. I wish I have time, but let's just look at Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9. It says, two are better than one. He's talking about partnership because they have a good reward for their labor. So I call that one, let me use the right word I used here. I said, multiplying effect in their teamwork, yielding into a corporate satisfying accomplishment. Number 10, verse 10. Verse 10, come on. He says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. I've told you, Christianity is not a personal race. Say, it's me and my God. Now only God knows who they serve him. It's a lie. It's not a personal race. Christianity is a corporate race. If you're not doing well, I am not doing well too. Are you listening to what I'm saying? There's nothing like it's a personal race between me and my God. Only God, me and my God, me and my God, me and my God. Which God? Is it the same God who orchestrated the church? God works with principles. He has set up a structure. You can't say, for example, now that you know the owner of this hotel, then you won't go and pay money to the manager. You will call the owner, send your account, let me see. He will say, no, see the manager. Then the manager will say, speak with the cashier. There's a system. God is not disorganized. Not like some of you, your friends is doing business. You'll not be chatting him. He will say, follow the system. Follow, this is the account to the account of the company. Speak with the dispatch. So that they will do it for you. Say, I beg your system too long ago. Me and you na party now. You don't understand system. Some people don't like system. They are so haphazard. They are not organized. Ah, no, pastor is my friend now. Why will I say the PA? No, I don't have to say that. I have his number. I'll just call him. And he can go on for some time for that, like that. Because, you know, sometimes just look like, well, you will grow out of it. But when you're doing it 2 years, 3 years, it's like a baby who is 3 years still wearing pampers. 4 years, 5 years. Some people run into crisis they don't know. Let me explain what crisis many times is. Oh, I didn't plan to say this, but this is going to bless somebody. Look at me, everybody. If you are a firstborn, you will relate because in Africa, most firstborn are like surrogate parents. Like, we helped our parents train their own children. And they won't pay us for it anyway. Later on, they will be saying, all my children. What do you mean all your children? We train them together. But just listen, if you're a firstborn like me, you know what I'm saying. You know that when a child is in the early stage, everything the child cries, come on. If it is too hot, he wants them to remove the clothes, he will cry. But oh, God bless our parents, our moms. They know, a woman will know that at this time, it is eat, remove the clothes. The same cry when he's hungry. He wants to eat, bring it. Only God knows how parents, how our mothers know. Oh, our mothers are wonderful. But everything the child needs cries. But they can't tell what the difference is. But as the child grows, when the mate are already talking, one day the child cries for food. And the parent says, Junior, no food for you until you talk. Your mate are talking. And the child will feel like, this is a crisis. No, I'm explaining what some of you are going through. What you're going through, you translate it as crisis, but it is a growth that has been demanded of you because you have been moved to another new level. And every new level demands bigger challenge. Now, the age that child has come to, you communicate for your need with talking, not crying. But the child will say, you don't like me in this house again. But now the child starts feeling like, but my mom loves me. How come she's wicked to me today? So the child will feel like, maybe I should cry some more. He will now cry. And if someone like my mom will say, look, cry from now, you must talk. Then you now increase. You cry. Until you say, they now say, stop crying. What do you want? Water. Then they bring water and give you. Now you realize that, the child will now be looking. So anytime I want water, I should say water, not cry. Levels don't change now. Power don't change hand. Come on. Come on, talk to me. It's the same thing even in life. People must learn to, we must learn to, look, playing harp might bring you to the palace, but don't stay there. You may also be able to learn how to string well, because maybe it is slinging that will help you slay your giants. So everybody must learn to evolve sometimes. Now, when dry season starts now, the serious Amatan, the wisdom therefore is to comport yourself with Amatan. You don't need anybody to tell you, you can't be wearing singlets outside. You know you are playing with pneumonia. Come on, talk to me. That's wisdom. But did I bless somebody? So he says, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. So we need one another. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he had not another to help him up. Verse 11. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? Verse 12. He now says, the last one. He says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. So he's just talking about partnership. Partnership. He says, one which is 1,000. Then two supposed to chase 2,000, right? But he says two shall chase what? That is the multiplying effect of partnership. So this is the mindset you must have from this teaching, that okay, how God gets things done through me, he gets it done through me by bringing me into supernatural relationship of people with yielded mind, yielded will, yielded ability that is in conformity, in consonance with mine, so that we can have a multiplying effect of results. Come on. That's how it gets things done through you. It brings you into, because there are things you lack, that in that supernatural relationship, you'll be furnished with it. Let me tell you one thing I close. Do you know one thing God did? God did it that none of us has everything we need. None of us. Nobody, none of us has everything we need. So when we gather like this, there's a supernatural drinking in the spirit. You drink of that person's patience that he has built over time. These are spiritual and impartable virtues. Faith is a virtue. Some of you came to this church, and since then your faith has gone high. Like you can dare and believe anything. Why? Because there are folks in church who have built their faith, and one day will pray in tongues. See, that chaklaka, rekelebo, blah, 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 that we are saying is not play. We are transmitting. You taking your home. Somebody is waking up, collecting their money. Can you see that? That's how it works. Were you blessed? Lift your hands and thank him. Thank him for the word. Just thank him. Just pray in the spirit for a minute. Just thank him. How God gets it done through us.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.